I don't know about you, but I'm just hit by God's presence with us this morning. And there's little things, and I guess you spot some of them too, but as we prayed and as we worshiped this morning, you may not have seen, but some of the kids at the front as we were praying, you know, they've no idea and understanding of all the words, but some of them were just stood with their hands in the air because they were asked to pray. And I don't know about you, but that kind of thing just reminds me that we're part of an amazing body, which is the church, that is God's family. And what a privilege to know God's presence here with us this morning. I don't know about you, but if we went home right now, I know that God's already spoken to us and he's already here amongst us by his Spirit, and he's already doing things in our lives. And we've prayed for the nation, and wasn't it good? And wasn't it important? And we could kind of just draw a line and go home there. But actually, I believe that God wants to continue to speak to us this morning. And I believe that I've got a few things that we can share together that will just take us even further into the things that God has for us. And what I want to talk about this morning comes off the back of where we've been the last few weeks. If you've not been around, and I realise we've got some guests amongst us this morning, just allow me to very, very quickly bring you up to speed. We talked about strengthening ourselves in the Lord. And we remembered this passage that David said. He said that David said is strengthen himself in the Lord is the scripture. And I believe that as church, as Ashwood, it's time for us to strengthen ourselves in different ways. And we said, well, how are we going to do that? There's some things that we're going to look at in these coming weeks that we're really excited about. Cap Money course started this week. Claire's mentioned already the Alpha course. We've invited people to think about the marriage course, which is basically a marriage enrichment opportunity. Really believe that God is saying that he wants to do something in terms of strengthening our marriages at this time. So we'll pray, but we'll also do some practical things. And then finally, Worship Central course. We're going to invest with some time with our worship team and anyone else who'd like to be involved in that, in strengthening ourselves in worship. And then we said, well, we're going to spend 21 days praying. We've spent 14 days. We're on day, whatever that is, 14 of 21 days of praying, believing that that is part of the way that God is going to and wants to strengthen us. Last week, I was talking about strengthening ourselves in prayer. And we said a lot of that is to do with how we position ourselves. And we looked at the story of Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, an amazing story of breakthrough and power and prayer, and the people of God coming into the things that that God had for them, standing against the ites. And we said that they were physical groups of people, armies that came against them. We said, well, we don't face that these days, but we have, if you like, ites in our lives that God is wanting us to come against and break through. And we said, how do we do that? Where we position ourselves? Three ways. Seek the greater one, seek the Lord God with fasting, speak with the greater one in prayer, and honour the greater one with worship. And I guess my prayer is that this week many of us have found that we've moved forward in some of those areas, that we've found a greater level of breakthrough as we've prayed and as we've come before God in those three areas perhaps. And this morning I want to just talk a bit more about strengthening prayer. And want to look at another Old Testament, very famous Old Testament story, and we'll head there in a minute, but I want to start in the book of James, chapter 5. So if you want to follow in your Bibles, you're welcome, or you can just look at the words, they'll be up there on the screen. And I want to talk this morning about continuing to strengthen ourselves in prayer. In this passage, the book of James is writing to the Christian community. He wants to encourage them in their life of prayer and praise. In verse 16, you've got it on the screen, says this: the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And literally, if you study this in the Greek, the way it's written, it says the prayer of a righteous man is very powerful in its working. Okay, well, my first question today is, who wants to pray powerful prayers that are effective on the earth? Why would we want to do anything else? And just think for a moment, this mentioned it last week, but this mysterious and wonderful reality that when we pray, the God of the universe not only wants to, but chooses to use me and you to outwork his purposes in prayer as we pray. That's what we're talking about this morning. It's about us communicating with the living God, and things happen as a result of it. It's amazing. And it's a privilege to see things change as we pray in Jesus' name. And in this passage, James goes on to give an example of someone who prayed and things happened. And he uses an illustration of an Old Testament Bible character and talks about how prayer changes things. And verse 17 says this, and this is who James is talking about. Elijah was a man just like us. Let's say that together, just like us, because that's important. Some of you will know, some of you may not be familiar, but Elijah was an amazing prophet, man of God. But he wasn't Superman, because James says that he was just like us. And Elijah had some off days. Anyone here have off days in terms of our spiritual walk with God? Anybody? Not many people. That is brilliant. Shorten a little bit what I had to say. That's good news. And those of you who know Elijah will know that there were days when he got fed up. There was a point in his life where people would say perhaps he even suffered with a little depression, and certainly had his struggles. But James goes on to say he prayed earnestly, and this is the illustration, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Now, I don't know about your praying this week, but for me, this sounds like a fairly strong and significant prayer. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't, and then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. Now, that to me is a good example of strong, powerful, and effective prayer. But the good news is, Elijah was just like us. So what does that mean? What does that tell us? Actually, I believe that we can pray in the same way that Elijah prayed, because that's what the Bible tells us, that Elijah was just like us. So I want to encourage you, I want to encourage me today, that actually the way that we can pray, like Elijah, because he's just like us, can see amazing things change and happen in our lifetime. We're going to head in a moment to just a very small part of this story in the Old Testament, but just before we do, it's worth just saying, understanding the context. Some of you have travelled, and I know there's people in this room who've been to the Middle East. Well, if it doesn't rain, it's pretty serious. Basically, if it rains, then crops grow. If it doesn't, they don't. And the implications are serious, of course, for you and your family. And this story that we are looking at this morning is about physical rain. But throughout the Bible, rain is also a symbol of God's blessing, his favour and his presence. So it was literal for Elijah. But as we pray, there is a parallel spiritual significance in God. And that's what rain is talking about. So I just want us to bear that in mind as we look at this story. So take a few moments. This story is found in 1 Kings 18, and we're going to look towards the back end of that chapter. And just to bring us all up to speed, God sends Elijah. Elijah is what we call a prophet, basically someone who's selected by God to bring his words to people. And God sends Elijah to Ahab, who was a wicked king, and he declares and prays that there won't be any rain. And sure enough, there is a drought for 3.5 years. So, verse 41, I think it is. Yeah. This is Elijah praying. Let's see what we can learn together. It says this: "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming.' So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees." Interesting position. "Then he said to his servant, 'Go and look out towards the sea.' The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, 'I didn't see anything.' 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. It's a great story. It'd be a great movie, wouldn't it, as well? Especially if they had the whole of Elijah's story with the great barbecue scene as well. But basically, one man's prayer made this difference. And just think for a few minutes what a difference we can make, because Elijah was just like us. And yet we benefit from knowing that now we live after the New Testament. We can pray prayers in the name of Jesus. Elijah didn't do that. So actually we are better positioned, if you like. We mentioned last week that actually we're better positioned because we can pray in Jesus' name and see all that we can achieve and do for God. It's good news. So I just want to, so there's four things I just want to very quickly look at that I hope will help us. I want to encourage you, encourage us together as church, part of 21 days of prayer, but part of strengthening ourselves in prayer and strengthening our prayer. So four things. The first one is this. Pray big. I don't know why I thought of that picture. It's not particularly helpful in 21 days if one of the things we're doing is seeking the Lord in fasting. I realise that. But there was something about that image which caused me to think, actually, what I want to express this morning, what I want to encourage us this morning is to pray big. And if you imagine, a lot of the time, I don't know about you, but my natural inclination is often to pray far too small. And there's often God puts things in front of us and it's almost like he's saying, don't limit me. Don't limit me in your prayers by thinking too small. I don't know about you, but in the last 14 days or so, my experience is that as I've prayed and as I've intentionally sought the Lord and started by looking at his greatness, as I catch a glimpse of that, I focus less on my own needs, and it makes such a difference to the way that I pray. Because even if the things are godly things, before we need to stop and remind ourselves who we're praying to. Because if we start with our own needs, we tend to look inward or downward instead of outward and upward. If we set our sights on the great big God who we sing about, then actually our praying for our needs will just come naturally after that. Let me tell you a very quick story that happened only a few moments ago, and it just hit me that this is exactly what I'm talking about in terms of praying big. I've stood next to Joel, my son, who was just worshipping and singing and praising, and you know how kids sometimes observe things, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I miss some of the things that the kids bring to us, and they're often in their own little world, and that sometimes that's a good world, and sometimes it's a strange world. But Joel, I believe, caught something that God was saying this morning. He just looked around, and he kind of nudged me, and he said, Dad, there's a lot of people here, isn't there? And he said, this room's not big enough, is it? And I realized that in that moment that he was recognizing that actually we need to pray big. And if we're not careful, we limit ourselves and even limit our prayers by the things that we put before God. And then he said, we're going to be the next Kingsgate, Dad. Now, some of you won't know what Kingsgate is, but we had a morning where we went to visit a church that is based in Peterborough, and it's an amazing church. They have three services and a huge, massive building, and it really isn't about size and numbers, don't get me wrong, but they just do a lot of great things really well, and they plant churches in all kinds of different ways. And I felt myself saying to Joel, it's a nice idea, Joel, but no, that's not really what we're going to be doing. But I managed to stop myself, because if Joel's telling me something that God is saying about thinking and praying big, then listen, we're not going to be unrealistic and silly, but if God's saying something to us, then I don't want to be the person that has to tell God that he needs to tone down some of his ideas, do you? And the danger is, if we don't pray big, then we don't encompass all the things that God has got for us. And it might be worth just saying in context, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in big church just for the sake of numbers. But big church means that more and more people know and find and follow Jesus. And if that's what's happened, then I don't know about you, but I'd rather have big church than small church, because that's our mission, that's what it's about, isn't it? Okay, it might make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, but I want to give my life to something that will last forever. And where does this concept of praying big come from? Whose idea was it? Well, I believe that if we look at the Lord's Prayer, then Jesus was teaching us how to pray big then. He starts by saying, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be or honoured be your name." Then he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I don't know about you, but that's going large with my prayers. God, I want to see here on earth the way things are in heaven. Well, that's pretty big. And then after that, he says, "Give us today our daily bread." So he prays big, and then he looks at the needs and the things that we have around us. Yeah. So let's pray big. Let's pray beyond ourselves. I often find God nudging me to look at the bigger picture, and I want to encourage you to look at the bigger picture too. Those of us who visit McDonald's, they always ask, don't they, if you want to supersize your order. I think they do that in the UK as well as other parts of the world. Well, I just believe it's almost like God saying, is it time to supersize our prayers? Let's pray big. Okay, so pray big. Second thing is pray bold. I don't think it's just me, but I believe that God is teaching us as church together to start to begin to pray some more bold prayers. Doesn't have to be to do with volume this. The other way of saying it is to perhaps pray with confidence. And actually, it doesn't mean necessarily that we are naturally confident people. If you read the story of Elijah, he wasn't necessarily a naturally bold person. So if you don't feel that you are naturally bold, then you're included, because don't forget, I might have mentioned it, Elijah was just like us. But when he prays, there's a certain type of boldness that comes on him. And if we look in the story, what's happening here? He's come before the king who hated him and had the power to kill him. And at the start of this story, he comes in and he says, "By the way, it's not going to rain upon the land." Now, that you have to be pretty bold if you're going to come and tell the king who hates you, who has the power to kill you, that this is what's going to happen. And then 3.5 years later, I don't know, perhaps after 3.5 years of no rain, perhaps I might feel a little bit more bold then. But he comes back to Ahab and he says, "And now, by the way, it's going to rain." Of course, Ahab says, well, he got it right last time, so he's probably going to be right this time. And in between that 3.5 year period, of course, is the story that I referred to about the great big barbecue I love the story where Elijah has a competition with the prophets of Baal, and they basically say, well, who's the greatest God? And they have a competition, and you imagine, you can hear, if you read that story, you can see Elijah's boldness. He almost gets cocky, doesn't he? He's taunting them. They say, well, let's make an agreement. Let's see who's got the best God. Let's have this altar here. Call down fire from yours, and then I'll have a go. And he even says to them, and I love this phrase, he taunts them. He says, where is your God? Is he relieving himself? It literally says, is your God on the toilet? That's literally what it says. But you have to be pretty bold to say that kind of thing, don't you? So if this is Elijah praying boldly in this story, then why and how is he able to do that? Well, two things. Elijah was confident in his relationship with God. And how much confidence can we have knowing, we said this last week, that Elijah didn't have the benefit of knowing that he is adopted as a child of God, is clothed in righteousness. That's what we have in Jesus. So how much bolder can we be? We sang it this morning, but the writer to the Hebrews says this, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. The reason that the people of God and the reason that you and I can come boldly today is because of what Jesus has done for us. We've been made right with God. He's made a way for us. Our old self is gone. Our old self, actually, we couldn't come before God in the Old Testament because of the sin that separated us. But now we can come boldly into God's presence. We've done it this morning. We sang it, if it was in one of the songs, if you noticed. But we can come boldly before God, not just to know God as God, but God as our Father. It's an amazing truth. So Elijah had a relationship with God. But secondly, the reason he was bold was because he knew the will of God. And everything changes when you know the will of God. Just think about it. The sovereign God in his divine plan sends a message to say that something, he wants something to happen. And then he releases a word. We pray so that he will do it. It's like God wants to partner with us. Why would God want to do that? God sends a message, says, this is what I'm going to do. This is my will. And the way it'll happen is by you praying. It's like we are God's co-workers here on earth. I don't know what your work is, but how would you like to be a co-worker with God? I mean, I've got some friends at work, they're all right. But if someone introduced me to God as my co-worker, then I think we can achieve an awful lot. And one of the things that's a thread through this story, one of the things that keeps popping up everywhere, it says the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to him. And Elijah's boldness was rooted in the fact that he had a relationship with God. He didn't just speak for God. He spoke because he was speaking the word of God because he'd heard from God. And that's why it's so important that we discern what God is saying to us. We stand on the promises. Again, we said this morning, I will stand upon your truth. Because when you know that you're standing on God's truth, that's the foundation, then that gives a tremendous amount of boldness and confidence. And actually, if it's God's will, or if God said it, then you might say, well, if that's God's will, then, well, I don't need to pray, do I? But that's not the case. The reality is, because God wills it, you can and you must pray it. That's the way around it works. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says this, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know then that we have what we ask of him. Does anyone want to pray boldly? Anyone like a bit more boldness in their prayers? Yeah. Yeah, anyone would, who would like to pray more boldly in their praying this morning? Okay, stand up and we'll pray for more boldness. You don't have to stand up, there's no obligation. But if we're going to be bold, we don't need a long time thinking about it, either we do or we don't. Father, this morning I pray that you give us boldness in our prayers. Lord, I pray that you've already done it and you're already doing it, but you're stirring something in us, your people, that we have a confidence in our relationship with you, we know your will, and we're going to pray boldly. I believe that's what you're putting in front of us, God, and we want to be a people who pray boldly, in line with your will, confident that we can approach you because of what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, I believe that we're going to pray some bold prayers. We receive it in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good. So, pray big. Say pray big. Pray bold. Third, pray strong. Someone prayed for me the other week. Eric is not here this morning, and he reminded me of an old song. Who remembers the song? Some of you won't know it at all, of course. It's an old song, so this dates you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord. Be strong. Anyway, don't worry if you don't know that one. But it is good. Now, I believe that it's good for us to pray conversational prayers. It's good that we can chat and talk and know God as our Father. We can talk to him freely. He loves that and we love that. But actually, I believe that there's time when we need to pray strong prayers as well. So in this story, Elijah has a word from God. He knows that rain is coming, but he doesn't passively wait. He goes up Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel always makes me think of caramels. I just think it would be a lovely mountain to climb. Anyway, don't get distracted. It's not so much about the mountain, but perhaps he needs to find the right place to pray strong. He adds a particular position in prayer, doesn't it? It sounds a bit odd. Perhaps this is normal for you, but not for me necessarily. It says Elijah puts his head between his knees. Anyone done that this week? You found yourself praying with your head between your knees? Perhaps that's this week's plan. And actually, if you read around this, you study it, people who know what they're talking about, the commentators say that actually this could be like a kind of birthing posture. Now, I'm not an expert, so I'm just telling you what other people say. But there's a sense that as he prayed, there's a level of intensity. And the birthing thing, that anyone ever given birth, there is a level of intensity during that process. Is that right? Look into some of the women who have a greater understanding, although I've been there and I do believe that I've got some kind of measure of understanding of what this intensity is like. Only as a... Not in terms of... I've seen it. I've witnessed. I've seen how this works. And James says about Elijah. Elijah prayed fervently, and literally, this phrase means Elijah prayed with prayer. Is what it literally means. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I start praying, it can be hard work. But if the Holy Spirit wants us, when the Holy Spirit gets hold of us, then it's kind of like there's fuel on the fire. It's like Holy Spirit fuel on the fire. And actually, sometimes part of what we do is we pray ourselves into prayer. And I think that's what this is talking about. And perhaps there's times when we need to pray strong prayers in certain places as well. It's good to find quiet places to pray. The Bible talks about that. But have any of you ever prayed on top of a mountain? There's something where you can see a bit broader, you can see a bit bigger, and there's something also, if there's no one around, you can pray some pretty loud, noisy, strong prayers as well. Has anyone ever done that? Okay. I just believe that God is actually wanting to expand our repertoire. You know, we don't all have to act and behave like one another. That's not what we're saying. But actually, there's something that God wants to do in terms of strengthening our prayers. And oh, I might miss that out. Yeah. Elijah knew what it meant to pray strong prayers. There's another example, we won't look at it right now, where Elijah prayed, and he prayed for resurrection life. There was a boy who was dead. Elijah prayed. Now, I get the impression if you're going to pray for someone to be raised from the dead, it's a pretty strong prayer. So when Elijah comes to this point, he knows what it means to pray with strength. And Romans 8 talks about this. It says, and I think this is a big key for praying strong, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many people feel weak sometimes when you're praying? And Paul, this is Paul writing to the Romans, says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So Paul is saying it's our weakness. He's identifying himself there. And how many people know Paul was a pretty good prayer? But he's identifying, he's saying that this is in our weakness. But he says this, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Yeah, you just need to skip a few, John, I think, to catch me up. So if you're feeling weak, partner with the Holy Spirit in prayer. There's something that happens when the Holy Spirit gets hold of us. Something supernatural takes place. You've heard me, some of you, talk about what it means to strengthen your inner man with praying in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit can just be like a rush of power within us that we know. You just somehow, some of you will know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, can I encourage you to ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you pray like this passage is talking about here. And there's something very good as well about actually praying with the words that the Holy Spirit gives us. You've heard me talk about this as well. There's something very powerful that when we pray with the gift that God gives us in terms of speaking in tongues. I'm not going to talk about all that now. If you want to find out more, come and talk to us. And if this isn't a gift that you've yet experienced, don't worry about it. But if you want it, you can have it. We'll pray. And I believe that God will give it to you. So pray big, pray bold, pray strong. And finally, pray on, which fits well, sounds good, it sounds better than pray persistently, so we've got pray on, but it's a bit like praying persistently. Remember Elijah in the story. How many times did Elijah tell the servant to go back? It's almost an amusing picture, this, isn't it? I was wondering about whether we would recreate it. But this picture, Carl, you said you wanted to help me with this, didn't you? We were chatting. Just Carl, just come and help for a moment. Do you want to be in the Elijah or the servant?
Servant.
Okay, so Paul, are you Elijah? Just need someone local. You'll be good. So Paul, you're Elijah. So it says Elijah stood with his head between his legs. He stood, yeah, he stood. Yeah, you stand with your head between your legs like that, I think. I think it's like that. I don't really know. This is a gift of interpretation. Okay, that's good. So Elijah stood with his head between his legs. And Elijah had heard in his spirit, he knew that God had said that he was going to send rain. And so he sent his servant to go and have a look. So send the servant.
Just go and have a look. Go and have a look.
So servant runs off to have a look.
Up the hill
and far away. And he came back. And the servant said, no rain.
No rain.
Okay. So Elijah prayed again and he said, go and have another look. So he sent the servant again. Servant came back, said, no rain.
No rain.
Third time, Elijah said,
have you got an app on your phone?
Elijah sent,
there's no rain until about 3 o'clock.
Elijah sent the servant, he came back, said, no rain. Fourth time, now I don't know about you, how many times would it have taken before you'd have given up? I mean, right this morning, I don't know about you, it starts to get a little bit tedious, doesn't it? All of you are thinking, I hope Matt is not going to make Carl do this 7 times, because we've got to crack on with this thing. Some people are enjoying it, and they're ready for all 7. But actually, okay, well, let's thank Paul and Carl for helping us. In fact, Paul, why don't you play that now? But you get my point. I don't know about you, serious question, how many times would you have sent the servant back? Because if it was me, I might have been tempted to do 1 or 2 and then thought, is this really going to happen? If I'm honest, because of the type of person I am, I'd have been a bit embarrassed to ask him to go back, because he's already been 3 or 4 times, and I feel like I'm being a bit of a nuisance. In those days, okay, things were a bit different. Elijah had a servant who was used to telling him what to do. But I don't know about you, but I'd have felt a bit embarrassed, a little bit awkward, and I'd have thought, I'm terribly sorry. I don't want to be a nuisance. This would have worked quite well for you, Paul, actually. Paul would have apologised to the servant as well. But let me say that in our culture of instant coffee, instant meals, instant response on the phone, the great thing is, of course, we can send a message and we can expect an instant response. Can I just say that in God's kingdom, there's something about being persistent and praying on and on and on. Jesus talked about being persistent, didn't he? He talked about knocking on the door and keep knocking. And sometimes one of the things that God wants us to do is to keep on praying, to pray persistently. So can I say to you, Ashwood, keep on praying, don't give up. Sometimes God is teaching us things along the way. In fact, I'll tell you what he's teaching us. He's strengthening you, that's what he's doing. As you pray in persistence, God is strengthening you. One of the scriptures I believe God has put in front of us for the year is in Colossians 1. It says, we have not stopped praying for you since we heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will, give you spiritual wisdom and understanding, and the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. You will live lives that will produce every kind of fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And it's this bit, verse 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened with his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Sometimes we just need to be patient as we pray. One last scripture I think is there. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit when? On all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, always keep on praying for all the saints. Some of us have prayed some prayers, and I believe that God says this morning, it's time to pray on. You might think 21 days is a long time to be praying. In the big scheme of things, of course, it's only a very short time of praying, but it helps us focus. Some of us have prayed some prayers for years and years. And I want to say to you this morning, keep on praying. Some of us have prayed for members of our family for years and years. I want to encourage you today to continue to persist in prayer. Some of us have prodigal sons and daughters, and I just want to encourage you this morning to continue to pray persistently, to pray on in prayer. Some of you will know this acronym, PUSH. Back to the birthing analogy, there's a time when the midwife says push, isn't there? And people have said, what does push stand for? P, pray. U, until. S, something. H, happens. Nothing's going to stop us now. Nothing's going to stop us now. We're going to pray persistently.
There might be someone or some people here who have got a bit stuck this morning when Matt was talking about praying the will of God. That, like, you might be just sitting there thinking, but I don't know the will of God. And so how can I pray in the will of God, and how can my prayers be powerful if I don't know what the will of God is? And I just felt encouraged to kind of just share that, like, some of the things that I'm praying at the moment that I feel are the will of God. One of them is about, for myself, about just being more like Jesus and like living in the fruit of the Spirit. And I know that that's the will of God because it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And one of them is about more God conversations with the people that I meet. And because I asked God what I should be praying for my community, and I felt that's what he says. But I know that's the will of God because it says it in the Bible.
Sure.
And actually, we don't need to question often whether what we're praying is in the will of God, because we have got God's word to and test that out. And sometimes God shows us other things as well. And like, one of the things I've been praying this week is as a response of something Dwayne said to me about prophesying. And maybe this is because I've been praying that, I don't know. So if it is you, come and tell me and encourage me. But I just wanted to encourage you that it's not like a big amazing thing that God only tells some people the will of God, because we've all got it in front of us in the Bible, and we can test out what we're praying, and there's so many things in there that God gives us to pray. And in fact, like Matt's just shared that thing from Colossians and the thing from Ephesians, that we're all praying in these 21 days of prayer.
Yeah.
And we can pray those for anyone and in any situation. And so actually, don't get put off by going, I don't know what the will of God is.
Yeah.
Because we've been given God's word, which tells us what his will is in a lot of situations.
That's good, thanks Zoe, that's good. Okay, well, let's just, as we close, let's just make sure that we position ourselves, make sure that we're in that place where we're ready to respond to what God is saying to us this morning. Let's take hold of the things that God is saying specifically to us. Okay, why don't we stand together? And I hope this morning that you've I just believe really so strongly that these are things that God is speaking to us. It's time to pray big, people. Time to aim high. Time to pray bold. Time to pray strong. And time to pray on. Shika bruku subriketa si andoro bruku te si andara brukuto. And tonight we felt that we wanted to gather together. We haven't put lots of extra meetings in our 21 days of prayer. The focus has mainly been in individuals making a choice to pray. And I'm hoping that you may pray as you gather with other people. That's great. We didn't put lots of extra meetings in, but we put a meeting in this evening where I just felt that God wanted to create some space for us to, well, we wanted to create some space for us to encounter and ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I just want to encourage you to come this evening. I know practically it's not easy for everyone and babysitting and all that kind of thing, but I just want to encourage you, if you can, come, because we're going to pray that God would fill us, His people, with His Holy Spirit. And He will strengthen us as we do it. Okay, well, God, we want to ask this morning that You would help us to pray big, pray bold, pray strong for ourselves, for our communities, in our own lives, and in our own church. Because Zoe's right, Lord, we want to be the people that You've called us to be. We want to become more like Jesus. And have You fill us with the Spirit of God that enables us to do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen.